Dear Lord, we just come to you. We just pray that as we go through this teaching of Jonah and coming to the end of it, the teaching will glorify thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll guide us through this, Lord, and help us understand it. And we just thank you for this opportunity to have your word in front of us as well. We hope to give your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, all the glory, praise and honour. Amen.
Amen.
If you need translation, please use the translation code on there, so just to help you with getting translation. So we're going to be looking at Jonah 4, and the series is coming to a close. It's the last chapter of the book of Jonah. And last time we looked at how Jonah's obedience brought the people of Nineveh closer to God and caused a national repentance. This is due to a number of things. Jonah was much an archetype of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in Matthew 12. Verse 40, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Jonah's metaphorical death in the sea was an example of the Lord Jesus' death on the cross for our sins. Jonah's obedience brought the people of Nineveh the people of Nineveh into reconciliation with God, and whereas the Lord Jesus' death gave the whole world the opportunity to reconcile with God. So these are the few takeaway points from the previous teachings that we've been going through through the book of Jonah, and I'll just leave us from that we're reading Romans 5:19. For the just as through the obedience of one man that many were made sinners, also through the obedience of one man many will be made righteous. The title of this sermon is Jonah Learns a Lesson. It seems very strange to me when reading this verse that a preacher would be angry that his listeners repented of their sins, because the whole idea when you go out preaching and when you want to talk to people is you hope and you pray that the words that God gives you is going to bring those people to repentance. And yet Jonah acts in the complete opposite way here. But he reacted in verses 1, it says he was greatly displeased and became angry. And to me, I was thinking, why did Jonah feel this way about the Ninevites? And there were several reasons that, you know, when we look into it. Nineveh was part of the Assyrian Empire. And as we learned in the previous sermons, they were an enemy of Israel. And they were wanting, they were evil, and they wanted the total destruction of Israel. So Jonah says in 4 verse 2, he says, he prayed to the Lord, isn't it what I said, Lord, when I was still at home, that it was what I tried to forestall by fleeing Tarshish? I knew that you were gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, and God who relents from sending calamity. Joseph sat there watching, displeased with Nineveh's preservation, and grieved at the gentle dealings of God preserving them. Jonah tried to justify his displeasure and anger, but God also rebuked him with this gentle question found in verse 3. "Have you any right to be angry?" In his mood and conduct, we can be like Jonah. Our displeasure, have we been displeased with God's ways? It may have been our patriotism. So if we look back to our patriotism, it seems that we can reign in judgment upon other countries who are our enemies. And we can sometimes look back at the history of England and the West and see all the great works, work of God among the and the nations, and today and say it's to the glory of England and the Western nations. Jonah was displeased that his country's enemy should be spared, yet God spared them. In our own personal history, have we been displeased with God? Displeased that prosperity has been denied to us? Who could use it wisely? Displeased that the losses and affliction have impoverished us when we see so much more that is needed by others who've been free from that? Displeased at the loss of family members and even a child, when other homes have many who are spared? Displeased it may be that even one has been denied us, and we've charged God as foolish. Sometimes in our grief, we can be the same as Jonah. Jonah was grieved that the Ninevites should be spared. Better he deemed that they should perish, for Israel's enemies to be destroyed. Better for God to vindicate his righteousness. Better for Jonah himself to be accredited as the prophet of truth. Grieved. But what was he doing with his memory? Jonah had forgotten. He was such a sinner against the light, and yet he had been spared. Then why was Jonah was ungrateful. But why wondered? Because he grieved not at God's dealings, even in his works, ambitions and plans. How little credit do we get from what we are expected, and the work that not prosper in our ways? Have we never grieved or been angry with God that great and good men or women should be taken away at such a young age, that he or she should be cut down in their prime, that God's works, whereas most successful, should be threatened and hindered, that our work for him should be obstructed, and so we can give little recognition and commendation to what God has deemed to be good, being grieved by regarding God at fault? And we look at his prayer. Jonah longed to die. His work seemed to fail because the Ninevites was spared. I don't think so. His work was not failed. It was a glorious success. It was an amazing miracle that the proof of God's divine mercy was shown. A glorious encouragement to all workers for good. So our work, even when we count it as a failure, may it be in God's eyes, not in vain, that we can, ourselves can see the trials of our faith that will show what the spirit and the character of the Lord within us. So let us not pray a prayer of be for ours like Jonah has, angry, saying, "Have you any right to be angry?" God is ever right. His ways is perfect. In Hebrews 12:3, it tells us to consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. What is our grief to his? And the Christian writer wrote, G.T. Costa wrote, "O brother, let us leave the shame and the sin of taking vainly and plaintive mood the holy name of grief, holy herein, that by grief of one came all our good. As with him, so with us. The way of the cross is the way to the crown." So we're just going to briefly look at the anger of Jonah. And looking at anger is not necessarily a proof of the corruption of the heart, but it is often part of life that we cannot get away from it. We have sometimes it within us as a self-defensive attribute. But there's two sides of this passion that we've got to remember. And this is what we've got to remember. There's a difference between the anger of Jonah and that of Jesus. One only shows us the spirit of selfishness, which is fretful and unruly, while the other shows grandeur of self-sacrificing spirit, united with piety and love. And we can see this in the unrighteous passion of Jonah. It was selfish in nature. It was his own honor he feared, not the glory of God. Number two, it's an unjust character. He would have had not had God's justice and mercy and love to gratify the sinful prophet. And number three, the unchangeable and the unloving part of it. It was vindictive, not against evil, but the good. This is the difference between the two. The anger of Christ as a type of righteous indignation. Mark, when we read the book of Mark 3:1-5, "Another time Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath day. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Stand up in front of everyone.' Then Jesus asked them, 'Which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save or to kill?' But they remained silent. He looked around in anger and was deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. Said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored." Contrasting with Jonah, observing the following points: the Lord's anger, it was sinless. It was just. It was merciful. The severity was not out of hatred, but out of love. So while in Jonah's displeasure and anger, God was still merciful to Jonah. In verse 6, the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give him shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. Even while Jonah was disobedient, God was merciful and gracious. He was his covering. This is displayed throughout the Bible. In the beginning, we can read in Genesis 3:21, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. The Lord provided a covering for Adam and Eve. Even though they sinned, he was still merciful and provided a covering. An animal had to die for the covering for Adam and Eve. Has God given us a covering? Has he shown us mercy and grace while we're yet sinners? He has, through the Lord Jesus. He is our covering. His death on the cross has been the ultimate covering and work of God's grace and mercy. Even when Jonah was taught this lesson from God, he was still being stubborn. In verses 9, but God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plants? It is, he said. I am so angry, I wish I were dead. Can we be like Jonah? And I think, yes, we can be stubborn and choose not to see God's wonder and mercy, moaning and groveling, saying things like Jonah, why me? I just want to die. Have you ever said that? I know I have. And yet God has been merciful, and God is merciful and still wants to use us for his kingdom. God reminds Jonah that his ways are better. So when we read verses 10 to 11, but the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow, it sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for a great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right from their left, also animals, even though the destruction of Nineveh was prophesied in the book of Nahum, it was not for Jonah to decide whether righteously decide if they should fall. Let us not be like Jonah and have grief and displeasure towards God's ways. For we're reminded about Abraham's encounter with the Lord in Genesis 18:25. So the background to this is the Lord meets with Abraham and they discuss the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the response to that was the Lord gave him Abraham in 18:25. Sorry. For be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating righteous and the wicked all alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? Let us trust in the Lord and his ways and his statutes. And let us be like as Peter says in 2 Peter 3:14-18. And I'll leave us with this this last few verses here. I'll read them so we can just remember as to what we should take away from this teaching. So then, dear friends, since you have looked forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with God, with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on guard, so that you may not be carried away by error of the lawless and fall from the secure position, but grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Amen.